Simplify your life today.
A helicopter crash in Afghanistan claimed the life of four American troops. We'll give you as many details as we know, starting to trickle in now at this point. Morning rush hour, unfortunately, two suicide bombers wreak havoc with the system in Baghdad and killing more than 147 people. And now they're saying up to 650 people are more injured as a result of that blast. The idea was, of course, to cause chaos near two government offices. And what was the response by the government in the midst of more pullout of U.S. troops? The official pullout started back in June, and slowly the troops are trickling down. So what does this mean about the Iraqi government? Very unfortunate as they try to stabilize things, obviously, in and around Baghdad. So we'll give you some more details on that as well. But first, we start with politics as usual. By the way, hope you had a great weekend. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of the show, if you just tuned in. We're going to take you on a wild journey here and there and everywhere, kind of to all the corners in the earth. The water cooler buzz, that's what we're trying to create here, and I think we do a good job of it. You can send us your thoughts always on what you'd like to hear on the show and what you like about the show and what you hate. That's fine. We love controversy. If you disagree, that's fine. Please take the shots. AmericaTonight.net. Speaking of taking shots, oh, Dick Cheney was ravaged on Sunday. Not a lot of people coming to his aid for some comments that he made about what's happening in Afghanistan and how President Barack Obama is handling it. First, we're going to let you hear what Dick Cheney said, in case you missed it, so that it makes sense. He was speaking at a dinner, and here's what he said that set off massive controversy.
Having announced his Afghanistan strategy in March, President Obama now seems afraid to make a decision and unable to provide his commander on the ground with the troops he needs to complete the mission. The White House must stop dithering while America's armed forces are in danger.
All right, so as a reaction to the dithering comment, Senator Orrin Hatch, Senator Sherrod Brown both appeared on a Sunday show, and here's what, and they had a different take kind of on this, as you can imagine. Here's what both of them said.
Well, I would never want to call my president dithering, and I know it's a tough position that he's in, but why not follow the advice of all of his generals, and especially General McChrystal? He handpicked him, and McChrystal's one of the best there is. He and Petraeus set up, they're the masters of counterinsurgency. They need these troops, there's no question about it, and we're exposing our young men and women over there. A number of whom have been killed. I'm not blaming the president for that, but we're exposing them without the proper help that they've just got to have. And I think it's a mistake to continue to just not make this decision when you have the best people on the ground who are living with that problem every day saying we got to have more people over here if we want a counterinsurgency that's going to work. And when you've had some progress, like in the Helmand River Valley, where, you know, they went in there. That was a huge Taliban stronghold. We went in there, did counterinsurgency. Today, the people are happy. They're raising crops. We're building roads. The Taliban are no longer there. And we could do that throughout that country if we would follow the advice of the generals who are right there on the ground, risking their lives and risking our young men and women's lives over there.
I think that's outrageous to claim that the President of the United States, and I know Senator Hatch didn't exactly claim it. Some others claim it, but pointed out nonetheless, it's outrageous that any partisan, that partisans in this country would say the President of the United States is waiting on two governor's races in New Jersey and in Virginia to make a decision in Afghanistan. Look, to listen to Dick Cheney, who was the mastermind of the most failed decade of foreign policy that this country's had in, at least in my political lifetime, perhaps my whole lifetime, perhaps my parents' lifetime, too. I mean, to listen to him when he talked about dithering, when their mistake was to attack Iraq and lose sight of Afghanistan. His president Abdullah, his Dr. Abdullah, presidential candidate Abdullah, said that 8 years of failure of Karzai implicitly is also 8 years of failure of dithering by that administration. So just take Dick Cheney's advice on the table. But one thing that's important, Secretary Gates, the Secretary of Defense, has gone to Slovenia to meet with ministers, defense ministers of NATO countries. We want to do this right. We should move deliberately. We should move in a way that the president is doing by making this decision the right way. We want to line up our NATO allies, which we have not been able to do for most of this decade, before we make this decision. The president's doing it right. I think waiting till not the Virginia and New Jersey election, but waiting to the election in Kabul and in the Helmand province and in Kandahar is the right way to go.
All right, so that was Brown's take, obviously radically different from Hatch's. You know where I stand on this. I agree with Hatch. I think that you were just dangling too many lives in the balance as a result of this. And then I asked myself this question over the weekend. I was thinking about this. Abdullah and whether or not he wins, or is it Karzai who wins? Here's ultimately the deal. Does it matter actually who wins this runoff election in Afghanistan? Even Brown said there himself that Abdullah took a shot at the previous administration in the 8 years. Well, obviously, he's going to get in bed with the United States because they need the United States, whichever one of the two of them would win. What if there's more problems with this next election? Then we would constantly put this off, and it would be well into the next year as to a decision on what the generals on the ground say. And if you put General McChrystal there, you got to listen to what the man says. All right, conservative George Will might surprise a few people with his take on the Cheney comments. Here's what he said on the ABC Sunday show.
Well, also, a bit of dithering might have been in order before we went into Iraq in pursuit of non-existent weapons of mass destruction. So from a representative of the Bush administration to accuse someone of taking too much time is missing the point. We have much more to fear in this town from hasty than from slow government action. Now, the question of whether an actual troop request was made with any set of urgency is not clear to me. The fact that one is being made by McChrystal, and whether it's 40,000 and whether the 40,000 represents a negotiated down from 80,000 request is something I don't know, but we should know after protracted, careful deliberation.
All right, so there we go again. Protracted, deliberate deliberation. Talk to the NATO people, get them on board, get more of the allies on board with this thing. Do you think that is really what should happen here, that haste makes waste? Or are we putting a big clock over everybody's head where time is ticking, ticking? I mean, the people who were sacrificing, who are there. And you've got the general who's been saying this now for a while. Give me the strategy. Here's what I've seen. Here's what we need to do. You put me in charge. This is what I'm seeing. We're failing here. And as I said, what about the next election results? I mean, I was saying the same thing. This gives them a pass. Hey, they got to wait till November 7th in the runoff. But why do we have to wait till November 7th if you think about it? Because isn't Abdullah, certainly he's talked to everybody in Washington, aren't things in place just like they are for Karzai? Should he somehow win this, even though the thought is that Karzai's going to win? Speaking of that, how about Abdullah? He speaks next about what happened in the elections the last time around. He was pretty outspoken on a show on CNN. We're going to let you hear a little slither of that coming up around the bend here on ATN.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you've got mold, you've got a problem. But if you have Moldzyme, you have a solution. Everyone at one time or another will encounter mold in their homes. It's unsightly and can affect your health. Moldzyme from EcoDiscoveries is the only safe and effective solution for cleaning mold and mildew and eliminating odor. Moldzyme is safe for any surface. Wood, concrete, tile, stucco, wallpaper, vinyl, or aluminum siding, painted surfaces, and more both inside and outside your home.
I use Moldzyme in my bathroom, basement, garage, and deck. Everywhere I see mold, it's magic in a bottle.
Moldzyme is non-toxic, safe for the environment, your family, pets, and plants. Contains no chlorine, bleach, ammonia, or nasty smell. Plus, it's easy to order. Call toll-free 866-767-2832 or go to moldzyme.com. That's 866-767-2832 or moldzyme.com. That's moldzyme.com. Use promo code RADIO for 25% off your order from Eco Discoveries. Moldzyme, now safe, has an effective side.
Yeah, another one bites the dust. That's my biggest fear, of course, because I care about the lives of the people who are over there fighting again and again and again and again. I won't go through all the rigmarole of lately, the people that I've met that have gone to Afghanistan and come back, and certainly some of the things that we have talked about on the air and some of the people that we have talked to that have been in Afghanistan lately. But if you're going to make the ultimate sacrifice, I think you got to give the guys and the women that are there every single possible tool that they could possibly have at their disposal. So it worries me that we're playing this chess game. Is it haste makes waste, or is it, no, come on, this has been too long. And what difference does the election make if both people are in place? Originally, I thought, well, you know, this gives them the get-out-of-jail card if you're at the administration because, well, the public thought is you just tell them, we got to wait on this strategy, we're having these meetings, but we don't know who's going to be in charge. And, of course, the thought is it's going to be Karzai. It could be Abdullah Abdullah. But if it is, he's already in place, having spoke to many of the Americans, and is on board because, obviously, he desperately needs the help of the United States and certainly doesn't want to see the United States go away. So he talked about the fraud the last time around and getting ready for this next election on November 7th. And here were his thoughts that I happened to catch on CNN.
To call this as clean elections, I think this, with all due respect to Mr. Karzai, it's a bit of ignorance, I should say, to say the least. This is like the fraud of the history. And unfortunately, the government was involved, IEC was involved. That's according to everybody, international observers, UNAMA, Elections Complaints Commission, the people of Afghanistan. So to ignore it or to just to deny it is not the solution. Yes, it was a step forward that the people of Afghanistan participated in the elections, but it wasn't a service to the people to ignore the institutions, the rule of law, and come up with such a process. But at the same time, one chapter is behind us. It led to the runoff, and we need to get it corrected in order to open the door for the new chapter. So denying it is not a solution. Rather than admitting it and correcting it, will be responsible leadership.
All right, so you get his thoughts there, and it makes sense. I mean, he's part of this deal. He's still in the game, and he says, don't deny it, let's just move forward and whatnot. And, of course, that was the smart play there. But is the United States doing the smart thing when it comes to Afghanistan? Many of you have called the show, and, in fact, one night last week we talked about it, I believe, for, you know, probably wall-to-wall an hour, Afghanistan. And is this, first of all, is it right to continue and to be there for another decade and then invest 18 years and we don't know what the strategy is and what is the end game and can you win in Afghanistan? Because look at previously what's happened when troops have been in Afghanistan and when others have tried to win in Afghanistan and have fallen flat. What is the magic potion that McChrystal has in it? And he admits it's not, he can't guarantee it because who can guarantee that victory? But certainly you have troops there. You have people that have been there again and again and again, and there's just not enough. There's not enough people to go around, in other words. And this is, we're talking about volunteers in this war because we don't have a draft, obviously. And you can never, in this case, when you're talking about this mountainous region and we were talking about how elusive the Taliban is, let's face it, and they know where they're getting information sometimes from the people who are turning and all that other sort of stuff, and it's a propaganda war as well. You know, you really have to ask yourself, really honestly, I mean, if we're going to continue down this road, which apparently there's no doubt we're continuing down the road, why are we dragging this out then? Then just make the decision. The meetings have already happened. There's already been 5 meetings. I don't think it's so ridiculous to suggest, well, if we know we're backing the next guy, we know we're backing who's ever in there, we've had these conversations, then what are we waiting for? It makes absolutely no sense to me. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but, of course, this comes up a couple of times a week, at least, when we talk about Afghanistan. I haven't changed my position on any of this other than to say that I truly now, the more I think about the runoff idea, it doesn't matter if both guys are in place, then actually what difference does it make? It means huddle down, sit with everybody, have one final meeting, and just make the decision. Make the decision. Speaking of making the decision, a big push is on. If you didn't catch the first hour of America tonight, I've got people telling me on the Hill that they honestly believe that this whole Senate bill is going to be completely together, I mean, ready for a vote, everything, by the middle of the week, which I'm very surprised about that because I figured there might be more of a drag on it. Well, we hear from day to day, this senator won't vote for it if it doesn't have this. This senator says, forget about it, I can't be on board. You know, constantly that's pretty much what's coming out of the Hill as to whether who's going to vote for it, what it's going to contain, all that other sort of stuff. So here's the deal. Will there be this public, so-called public insurance option with the state opt-out clause as part of health care reform? I've heard this multiple times that, yes, there is going to be the public option in this bill. Supposedly Harry Reid was pushing for that, but he's not the only one. But now here's the interesting thing. Behind the scenes, Obama does not want the public option in this bill for fear that it's going to be certain death or failure because this is going to send people in the opposite direction. Of course, there are other senators who are saying they really don't want to vote for it if it doesn't contain the public option. This is why don't look for health care reform truly to be passed anytime soon. Yes, maybe a vote, which still is surprising to me, but there is massive confusion on Capitol Hill in the Democratic Party. I'm not even talking about Republicans. How are they going to get the 60 votes that they need to overcome a filibuster? When you look at the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, who has a lot of people who are more on the progressive side of things, slant of things, who are not happy at all because you've got the president saying, let's step it up, let's do this, let's get this vote, let's have this happen. But they truly don't want the public option in there because it's a risky deal, a risky strategy. And yet you have other people who are bailing on it. See, this is what it is. It's about the maneuvering behind the scenes that none of us see. I mean, ultimately, you just hear that something's passed, and what does it mean? And, of course, we try to give you everything we can find out about here on America Tonight, and lots of talk shows are doing that. But there's so much finagling going on behind the scenes, you never know what kind of deals are being cut. So are they close enough that they can push this through, get it through? Is there too much of a blowback on not having the public option with the more progressive or liberal senators who want to see that included in there because they don't want to vote for it? And what about the blue dogs? And what about the more conservative Senate Democrats? Is this going to be a bipartisan effort? I mean, I think the word bipartisan, you can almost throw that out in this whole situation. But again, this affects every single one of us. Whatever happens here, should I be completely wrong on all the things I'm hearing? And this whips through, and people in the House, people in the Senate, there's enough to go through. It happens. Of course, the president signs it in, and there are some things in the measure that become law that are things that we really don't want to live with, but too bad, because we're a country of laws, and this would be part of the law. So if you don't have health insurance, you're going to have to pay the price. Trust me, they will find you. It's always the guys who don't make a lot of money that the IRS seems to find, right? It's not the bad guys who are swindling us with the Ponzi scheme. Somehow they get away with it until, guys like Madoff actually turn themselves in. They actually give up. I give. I think you're getting close. I've gotten away with it for all these years. 800-259-5791, America Tonight.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet spy products today. Because video never lies.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need.
With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two Sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely-On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now, 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
Times are tough, and many of us expect them to get worse. The warning signs have been everywhere for a very long time. Therefore, you have no excuse not to be prepared. If another Great Depression strikes America, how will you excuse your lack of preparation to your loved ones? There are numerous places you can buy freeze-dried food. PatriotFood.com is different because our dried food supplies are not sold in fancy tin cans. Our 25 varieties of bulk food are packaged in heavy-duty, food-grade plastic bags that will last 10 years. While our competition charges $3,000, we ship to you 135 pounds of great bulk food supplies for a fraction of that. Our company is owned by a famous patriot, Big John Lipscomb. I know you can trust him. He's my dad. PatriotFood.com is the wise choice for food insurance.
Teetering on the verge of that health bill that we talked about. Also, one of the panels in the Senate, they're going to start to tackle again the climate bill. That debate over that form of legislation starts. They're going to hold hearings that would curb U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. Oh, boy. Get ready to start writing some big checks, folks. Time to get those second jobs to pay for all the things that, yeah, the middle class is going to end up paying for. I can just feel it. Hey, speaking of paying for it, here in Odds and Ends, as we kind of zig and zag all over the place to fill in the blanks on America tonight. In case you missed it, this story couldn't get more interesting, I think, with these pilots telling the National Transportation Safety Board that they were awake during that flight, that they just lost track of time and their location, the pilots of Northwest Flight 188, but they never went to sleep. I know this is radio, but I have those special infrared glasses, courtesy of GCN, to get all the cool spy gadgets and stuff, so I can see across the nation. Raise your hand if you believe the story. They just lost track of time. Yeah. But that's what they're telling the feds. They didn't go to sleep. They didn't have some kind of weird argument, because originally that's what leaked out. They didn't respond to air traffic controllers for more than an hour. An hour. See, then you got to say to yourself, okay, they don't respond after an hour, and nobody's actually up in the skies. Remember after 9/11, when the F-16s were supposed to be scrambled immediately? Because, boy, we don't want to have an incident like that again. If we've lost track of a plane, we're not hearing anything, we can't get in touch with them. What's happened? Has somebody taken the people hostage on the plane? Do we have more mayhem in the air? Do we know what's happening in the out there in the skies? Well, the cockpit crew says pretty much They became distracted in conversation. They were cruising at 37,000 feet. They didn't realize how long the plane had lost radio contact, and they flew about 100 miles past their destination. They're saying 150. And that's what one of the first officer made that comment. A guy named Richard Cole said that he made that comment to reporters earlier in the week, right? So you've got the safety folks at Northwest who were supporting the pilot's statements, okay? But the bizarre flight details, it's just not washing. You had 159 people on board. And, of course, if I were a government investigator, you bet I'd press up more on this. Is fatigue part of what happened here? So as this starts to snowball, you've got pilots and safety experts who say it's pretty strongly been suggested that they were snoozing on the job because of also no information. And the crew's schedule that day, though, wasn't too demanding, apparently, right? So usually if they're talking about fatigue, they're talking about 14-hour days or whatever, that kind of stuff. And, you know, so was it what kind of challenging things happen to your body as you're working these long, long hours, as any of us know. Hey, have you ever been a trucker? I know a lot of people listening that are truckers or former truckers. You're exhausted and you're just trying to do that last leg. Remember, there have been problems with that with truckers. And, of course, now taking the breaks obviously helps. But before it was, man, just blow and go, blow and go. And in the case with the pilots, obviously, there's certainly some of that. But there's no clear-cut information from the cockpit voice or flight data recorders. So it's going to be hard, I would think, for the NTSB to conclusively figure out the deal and how do you back up the pilots and what they're saying or determine what happened. You have to think, you know, do they have a little pilot's code there? Hey, we nodded off on the job. Let's not say that when we go in. They grill us. We're saying this. Or, hey, we just lost track of time. But is that acceptable? I'm flying all these people on this plane to get to this destination. This is what we do for a living, and we just overshot it. You know, it'd be like you're anything. You're in a bus, and the bus, oh, we just missed a bunch of those stops. Sorry about that. We're going to have to circle around. That'll be another 25 minutes. Of course, now you're in a bus versus you're in the air, and you're scared to death in the air. Something about it. You can tell us all you want about traffic accidents, but there's something about being on a plane. It just does not feel the same, even though, okay, few go down, but when they do, it's a huge disaster. So were they doing the proper procedures? I mean, that's the other thing. What do you do? You're following the instructions, right? And you're supposed to use different radio frequencies as you move along in the air with the air traffic facilities that you have. So what were the distractions? I mean, were flight attendants chatting or bringing in food? Were there the pilots getting up? I mean, what was the deal here? I mean, you know, if that could be a fly on the wall, what was the distracted state? How could that happen? And controllers say a radio transmission from a nearby plane also prompted the Northwest crew to resume their communications with the controllers. And that's how that happened again. So they're trying to get this transcript of the conversations during the final 30 minutes, of course, of the flight, which is what they have. They hope that they're going to unravel the mystery of why they didn't respond to the frantic calls from the controllers and text messages, by the way, from the airline's own dispatchers for more than 75 minutes. And the plane is literally going across a bunch of different states. Now, apparently, they start to monitor systems and computers, and they go into some kind of a zone. And so could this have been what happened, and they just missed everything along the way? But, what is it that happened to these pilots, I guess? What's the most plausible explanation for how the people that were so experienced in this crew that were flying and they're just going along normally, and how could they have this radio silence for such a long period of time? There's no mechanical problems, there's none of that kind of stuff, and not realize that something, you know, something was wrong, that they weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, which was landing. I don't know. So if your pilots needed to sleep on the job, would you be okay with that? Because now what some of the unions are saying, and they have been saying for a while, is, wow, if you're going to have these jaunts where they're going back and forth and they do have long days and it is a case of sleeping, I think you should legally let them take little naps. How would you feel about that? Here's what I would think. I would think, first of all, in this whole thing, I don't have a problem with that. If one pilot's flying and the other one says, man, I'm exhausted, we've been working all these flights this day and we had these delays and whatever, I just need to kick back for 25 minutes or whatever, who cares, I don't care, versus my safety and everybody's asleep on the plane. But, you know, these pilots would have to have their licenses suspended. I can't imagine that that's not going to happen at the very least, right? Because you can't just serve that up and not have anything happen to you. Jerry's listening to us in St. Louis. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Kate. You mentioned the health care, reform, and I came across this article in yesterday's Sunday's St. Louis Post-Dispatch. The GOP, you know, the Republicans, Senator from Nebraska, Mike Johannes, he's a Republican, he said, that the health care legislation would mean higher monthly premiums and taxes, as well as Medicare cuts in Medicare for older people, which we already know that's coming about. He said the Democratic plan to expand coverage to millions who lack it will increase your costs for your average American. So it's not going to be free. It's going to be the poor. So going to be paying premiums. And he said the legislation would remake the nation's $2.5 trillion health care system with a new requirement for most Americans to purchase health insurance. You're going to have to purchase it, whether you can afford it or not. And if you can't, if you're in such a low-income status, and the government will give you some subsidies, the other insurance companies are going to have to, you know, they cannot drop coverage against sick people or deny coverage to them with pre-existing health conditions. But the government option would be, we don't have any money for you, so just forget it anyway. You're too old. You can't produce. You're not a producer anymore. So, you know, that would be the public option for people with pre-existing conditions like cancer or something. They wouldn't be given care at all. So,
right.
And the factory workers, they'd be hit with higher premiums. College students would be saddled with student loans. Who are saddled with student loans, they'd be forced to pay for health care. So then we have a bankrupt, you know, budget and a bankrupt economy. So eventually the government will be saying, look, we can't even afford your health care, so just die. That's the way I look at it. I really do. Anybody who is too young, too small, defective, I understand they will be cut off from the government health care. And anyone who is older or maybe not even that old, but they've got a terminal illness, they will be cut off from government health care. So it's a horrible deal, and nobody's going to benefit at all, really.
Yeah, the problem is the mystery that shrouds it. Thanks for the call. This is what we're saying. The bill is supposed to expand this health care coverage, right, to tens of millions of Americans by giving the low and the middle income folks the subsidies to offset whatever the cost of the insurance is, and then expand Medicaid, the insurance program, to cover more of the poor. But most people would have to buy insurance or pay a fine. I mean, that's what's going to happen to a lot of people. So there could be exceptions made for the people who are deemed unable to afford it. But what is unable to afford it? How much is that dollar figure, and how many mouths are you feeding on that? And this is the problem. There still is too much mystery, like I said, that shrouds this whole thing. Hey, coming up next, no mystery here. We're going to tell you whether or not anybody nailed the score from our game of the week with the Vikings and the Steelers, plus highlights from the NFL. That's next here on ATN.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Do you have trouble getting through the day? Do you feel tired and worn out? Pounding expensive energy drinks? It's a proven fact. Many people do not get the proper daily intake of essential vitamins and nutrients. With the lifestyles we lead, eating fruits and vegetables is sometimes easier said than done. Introducing Choose 4 Health. Choose 4 Health brings you 16 powerful ingredients in one delicious chewable for around 75 cents per day. Each chewable contains a full day's worth of the necessary fruit and vegetable intake you need. Choose 4 Health also contains antioxidants and vitamin B12 to give you that extra boost to curb midday cravings for snacks, energy drinks, and coffee. Call 1-800-210-1922 right now and you will receive a 1 week supply of Choose 4 Health absolutely free. Just pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-210-1922. That's 1-800-210-1922. Or visit orderchews.com. That's order, C-H-E-W-S.com. Start your healthy lifestyle now.
Our NFL segment for those of you who are curious about Nail the Score, you're just gonna have to wait longer. That's coming up next hour. Instead, let's hit the phone lines. Tomas is listening to us in Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
Hey, Kate. How you doing?
I'm good. How about you, buddy?
Yeah, you're hitting pretty good on all your cylinders today. You know, I think you put a little question out there, and then you're seeing if anybody's going to bite on it, but you asked, where was the Air Force, right? After 9/11, supposedly, if they got a plane and they can't communicate with it, they need to be up in the air. I mean, I'm sure they're not even supposed to wait an hour.
No.
So that tells me that there probably was some communication going on. And I'm going to stick with my first bet. I think it was a love connection, Kate. You know, I think that... that one guy heard that other guy's husky voice over, you know, the oxygen breathing, and then, you know, and their hands may have touched as they went for the throttle, you know, and all the stars and the skies and all that. It was beautiful, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, they lost control. They just couldn't help themselves.
Yeah, it's
crazy. It's a crazy story, and I do. I want to know what happened in that cockpit, the real story, not the bogus things that are floating around.
Yeah, and then, you know, Afghanistan and the public option, why don't the Republicans use that? Why don't they say, look, Mr. President, hello, listen, this is the way it works. People are getting killed right now in Afghanistan, all right? The public option, you got all the troops you need in the Congress. You got the House, you got the Senate, you got all the troops there. You don't have to have this thing today. But we need reinforcements in Afghanistan.
That's right.
They could use that, you know? But I don't know what the Republicans are doing. Although there is something going up there in New York, I'd like to hear from Mark because some of the conservatives are supporting another guy instead of the establishment Republican. And I think it's in the 23rd district or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard about that, but that's that's something there. So anyway,
yeah, I like your point about Afghanistan and why not use that. I mean, it's ridiculous. This and I said thanks for the call, and it's like I said, I started to think about it more. This waiting for the runoff election, when you're going to support both guys, what's the difference then? So make a decision. I mean, I think it's fair to say that it's just been too bloody long. And as more people die, it's just again more time on the clock wasted. Jana's listening to us in Iowa. Hey, Jana.
Hi, Kate. Couple of points. I'd like to encourage everybody again to contact their senators and congressmen, representatives, because it's still not too late to influence them. And I understand that Harry Reid said he's not going to reveal what he's put together until after the vote. And
that's right.
That's, you know, that's not right for the American people. I hope people let Congress know that. And about the airline pilots, I say the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. There's only a couple things I would have been doing where I would have lost track of time if I was piloting a plane. That would have been I was sleeping, I was making whoopee, or I was on my cell phone's internet connection playing a game, and maybe each of them were up there with their little cell phones playing back and forth on a game together.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I like that. They were too busy. They were playing Tetris in the air, so they had no idea. Whoops, this is such, you know, just a common thing. We're just cruising along here. It's just rote for us. We do it every single day. Jana, good call. Thanks. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's move on across the border to Al, who's listening to us in Canada. Hey, Al.
Hi, Kate. You know, I know what those two pilots that were flying from San Diego to Minneapolis were doing.
What were they doing?
They were doing a promo for the Amelia Earhart movie.
Yeah, because it's bombing at the box office, so anything to help a female pilot who was a renegade, yes.
She got lost. And they got lost, so.
Exactly, I get it. It was very funny.
And why on earth would an airline name itself after a gangster rap band? NWA. It says NWA on there, on the side of the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And their big song was F the Police, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Boy, you are on the money tonight.
Yeah, they shouldn't name. And also, Kate, you know, if Congress gives Obama his public option on health, you're crazy, because you know if a public option, you guys have got to do everything you can do to keep the government out of health insurance. The government should have nothing to do with health insurance. Up here in Canada, the government owns almost every hospital. If you wanted to build a hospital and the government would close it down. The government owns almost every hospital I think they own every hospital in Canada. You have got to keep the government out of health care. You know, Kate, food. Would you agree with me that food is more essential to human beings than health care, right? So why doesn't the government offer a public option for food? You can have publicly owned, you can go to the government, you can go to Obama supermarket and a government-owned and operated supermarket and buy food there if you don't want to buy food from the has there ever been mass starvation in the United States? The United States has never.
Well, not mass, but there are people that are homeless. There are people that are struggling. There are people that are on government, getting government cheese, that are getting food stamps.
Yeah, but nobody has ever died of starvation in the United States that I've ever heard of. Have you ever heard
of? No. If you're talking about like Africa and
yeah, like
comparing
Ethiopia,
it, no.
And there are no government-owned and operated supermarkets in the States, are there?
Right, no.
So the health care should be run exactly the way the food industry is run. Leave it all up to the private sector.
Well, I agree with you that I think you're the prime example. You guys in Canada, it's like you said, Al, you see what you get. I mean, in Canada, all of you are telling us don't go there. Yeah.
And then just help out the people that can't afford to buy insurance on their own. Or I don't believe in putting a gun to somebody's head and forcing them to buy insurance. But if they can't afford the premiums, then the government should help them out. And if they're too stupid to go out and buy insurance and they don't have the money, well, then the government will help them out and collect it back. And every time they file their income tax, they've got to pay it back. People have got to learn.
There's no thing
as a free lunch. Thanks, Kate.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank you, Al. Al, again, just like Sam and just like several others we've talked to in Canada, tell us you don't want to go in that direction. All right, Mark is listening to us in New York. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hi, I'm Tomas. Asked me to call, and I called. Really quick, I only have a couple minutes to take it to the top of the hour. I wanted to just say something about the war in Afghanistan and Barack Obama's his policies. When he was a senator in Chicago, he did not believe in the right to self-defense. Now, you'll say, what does this have to do with Afghanistan? This is my logic, my opinion. Doesn't it, of not believing in self-defense for himself and the people around him, doesn't it extend to his country and his policies that govern his country? He's waiting for the special election in New York, and the idiotic Republicans are supporting a totally liberal woman who should be on a Democrat line. He's waiting for the governor's race in New Jersey and Virginia to be decided before he makes a decision, because he doesn't want to send the troops to Afghanistan. And this is a totally political decision. Now, you know how I feel about Christopher Christie in New Jersey. He shouldn't be elected
right.
because he's a terrorist enabler. That being said, you saw the bombings in Iran today. Iraq. Iraq is falling apart because we're not spreading the money around. The same thing is going to happen in Afghanistan. They're dying for no reason at all. Even if he pulls them out tomorrow, I don't give him any credit, but the point is they're not being supported. And he's a total political calculation. The Islamic world is going up in smoke. It's a farce what this guy is doing. And really quick, Azazi in New York, and the fellow in Boston, they wanted to attack soft targets like shopping malls. I told you they're going to do that. And they're going to go after schools. And who the hell are we going to hold responsible? Because our borders are still wide freaking open. That's why he wants to legalize the illegals. This guy is so slick, but he's dangerous for this country. He's politicizing the troops in Afghanistan. He's waiting until the elections are decided to see which way they go before he makes a decision. This guy should be impeached. Impeached. Thanks, Chris.
All right, so what Mark said, so everybody knows, there's a couple of elections that are undecided at this point in a couple of governor's races, and that's what's being talked about. The theory is that Obama's waiting so that he knows, like Mark said, what direction to go in. Then once the dust settles on the election, then he'll make the decision, and it coincides with the runoff election, of course, November 7th. In Afghanistan, so that just adds more fuel to the fire, so it's a perfect setup. And I don't know, there could be some truth to that, and maybe not, but it is intriguing nonetheless. Shoot me an email if you have any questions on the show, americatonight.net.